Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and tonight we are previewing the grand final, Parramatta Penrith. Can you believe it? It's grand final week already, another NRL season nearly in the books, an eighth season of the Tripod, and another big winning year for us. We've got the Battle of the West to talk about and dissect tonight. We have the club with the longest standing premiership drought in the whole NRL, playing the club with the shortest premiership drought. It's 36 years against 365 days. We've looked the game up and down. We've got a massive show tonight with a heap of tips, angles, cameos, all to discuss, but no best bets. So we're going to kick off the show by giving you our special mixed matchup. The mixed matchup for the grand final is going to be a combination bet of the largest lead to occur at any time in the game for either team to be less than 12.5 points and Penrith to win the second half. And that is paying $3.50. Don't play that mixed matchup if you think Penrith are going to win easy and win 13 plus. And look, that's a real possibility. And I especially do think Penrith is going to finish strong, hence that second half leg. But we're getting the extra value here because it's not just an either team 1 to 12. It's either team 1 to 12 for the entirety of the match. And the logic there for us is that if Parra gets down more than 12, we don't like their chances of getting back within 12 anyway. And I also think it's unlikely Parramatta is going to lead this game by more than 12 at any stage. So it comes down to, you think it can be a competitive game in the balance somewhat, and Penrith with the more petrol in the end. That's pretty realistic, and that's a $3.50 bet that you can have up to 100 on. The code is TRIPOD if you need a top sport account. If you recall, a year ago, you had a $3.50 play in the grand final that did win as well. And it's been another good year for the mixed matchup after a season of the ages to follow up in 2021. And it's carried on beyond NRL because the man beside me, Podonis, is 100% on mixed matchups in the NFL, 3-0 now, and juicy odds as well, a couple over $3, and most recent one, a bit over $2, winning as easy as you like as well. As I say, tonight, so much more to come. We're going to break down the match from every angle that we think a punter should consider. We're going to give you first try for some value and some fun. Clive Churchill picks, favorite way to back the Eels if you were going to back the Eels, how we would back the Panthers if you're going to back the Panthers, some anytime try scorer value. Podonis, you weren't here on Sunday. For the recap, you're a bit under the weather. So first question I've got to ask is how you're feeling? And was anything that stood out to you that we didn't mention live on the recap?
Thanks, mate. Feeling a lot better at the moment. Sorry I couldn't be there to do the recap with you guys, but it was still a great breakdown with yourself and The Undertaker jumping on. In terms of the games itself, I don't really have much to add in terms of how you guys saw it and the takeaways you guys felt. But one thing I'd just like to touch on is that I think the NRL gets bashed a lot for their fans and crowd attendances. But one thing that stood out to me was I think the fans have been rewarded with such great footy over these final series. We've had some of the best games all season. Think back to the Sharks-Cows game, the Panthers-Roosters game. So the fans really spoke with their feet last week. We had a sellout in Townsville. It was a great contest. And then to see 60,000 in Sydney for that South Panthers game, it was a testament to all the fans and loves of footy, and we've got another fantastic game this week.
Which is sold out and which you'll be in attendance for at Accor Stadium as well. So we can't wait to talk about it. Let's straight away, let's start the show with some betting insights thanks to Tristan with MarketWatch.
Hello, Tripod family. Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we're up to the grand final, and what a rivalry we've got. Penrith up against the Eels, where the Panthers are firm favourites around about the $1.35 quote, with the Eels around about $3.25, and the line is there at 8.5. You know, Parramatta's already beaten Penrith twice this year, but Penrith got the job done when it mattered in week one. Just having a look at some outright action, Penrith were the highest price they were at around about this time, or as soon as we released the market last year. $6 was the highest price they were. They firmed up into $5.50 pretty quickly, into $5. Before the season started, and then it's been one-way traffic. They've been around about the $3, $2.80, $2.20 mark throughout the course of the year. So certainly a slippery dip, one-way traffic for the Panthers in terms of that. The Eels, on the other hand, they started the season around about the $12 mark. They got out to a high of 15 before the season started, and then they started the season really reasonably well, but then they drifted back out to that $10 mark 14 they were in July, and then just the highest price they actually were was in August. So only a month ago where they got out to a high of $17. So they've certainly seen a bit of fluctuation in their betting. In a grand final like this, you generally seem to see punters sometimes betting a little bit differently to what they might normally do based on their futures position. So if there are some punters with multis rolling through Penrith, you might tend to find some people will take the plus about Parramatta, where they try to find themselves in a position where they can win either way. That's where you tend to find a little bit in a game like this. But it's been a little bit different this year, because I think at the start of the season, despite Penrith being very firm in the market, there was a lot of support for Melbourne, the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. And I think a lot of punters maybe miss Penrith, and if they miss that initial movement, then they probably haven't jumped on unless they've thrown some multis into some options. But that's historically what you find when you've got a short price favourite in the competition. Some of the other markets that are obviously really important is the Clive Churchill Medal. That's always a very popular market in the grand final. Nathan Cleary is a firm favourite. He's been back from $3 into $2.85. The one they've backed with us significantly, though, is Dylan Edwards, who's been $10 into $8 in the last week, and Jerome Luai, $19 into $17. So punters are looking for a little bit of value around the Cleary option. Obviously, Moses is the favourite for the Eels if they get the results. So enjoy the game over the weekend. If you're having a bet, make sure you do it responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. So there you go. Those are the top of the market odds you could have got if you picked the perfect time to get on Penrith and Parramatta. Well done to you. I thought we'd start there. Padonis, just talking about the journeys of each of these teams. I'll start with Parramatta, because I actually did say after their loss to the Panthers in week one of the finals that, you know, the 2021 Panthers lost in week one of the finals and ended up getting a rematch, which is what Parramatta ultimately have gotten. And I did get memories of the 2015 Cowboys as well, losing in the first week of the finals. And what was similar to the North Queensland Cowboys for Parramatta is that in week two of the finals, they then got a big win that got them back on track, as we saw the Eels did over the Raiders in this finals campaign, and then a tough win on the road, of course. And didn't get much tougher than Parramatta's heroic win up in Townsville last week. Well, those Cowboys had to go down and win in Melbourne in 2015, and that led them back on a collision course with the side that beat them in the first week of the finals in 2015. It was the Queensland Derby. This year we know it's the Western Sydney Derby. And we're going to discuss what chance we think Parramatta has of turning the tables on their opponent, as North Queensland did seven seasons ago. But what stands out to you in terms of Parramatta's journey and how they got to this place?
Yeah, I think all season we've been pretty high on the Eels, and we've been saying that they are a legit team and they can win the comp. And I know they've had some inconsistent results throughout the year, and they've had some embarrassing losses. Like, think back to that Tigers game, the Bulldogs performance where they lost by 13 plus against the Dogs at that stage of the season. And people were happy to write them off, and we weren't one of those guys. And I think since round 21, we've either been on the Eels with the best bet, or we've just stayed off the game completely. That's how much confidence we've had in this Eels side and how their roster is built. And they can compete with the big sides, and they've proven throughout the season that in the biggest games that they have performed. And you're right, they have come through the hard way. So that's one knock on them, because it's always better to have the week off and get that refreshment in their legs. But Parramatta have had to do it tough, both physically and mentally. And last week was testament to them, and it catapulted in one of the biggest performances for them as a club. But look, they have a side that can disrupt the Panthers. We'll talk about that in a bit. But they're a side that wants to go through you, and the best offloading team in NRL. So they're definitely going to have to be at their best to have a chance of winning. But it's just great for all their fans to be able to celebrate being in another grand final, because they haven't had this sort of success since Jared Haynes' run in 2009.
And speaking of us being high on Parramatta, actually, we're going to get a tip now. Now, the problem with this tip, you can't get on. It's 4 months old, but let's have a listen anyway.
And I'd rather annoy some people right now than not share this. You don't even know this, but I bet on the Eels to win the comp at $12 this week, and you can still get it at Sportsbet. I think that Roosters loss to the Raiders, that really hurt. I think they really needed that game, and it made me think, yeah, now the Roosters are really up against it to make the four, which in my mind opens up a spot in the top four. And look, the Broncos are in the mix, the Cowboys are in the mix, but I still think Parramatta's clearly a level above those sides. Obviously, I've already shared Roosters at 14-1, so people will be thinking, how many teams is he going to tell us to win the comp? He's going to tell us, you know, half the field, and then claim he picked a 14-1. Like, look, if you did already back the Roosters, 14-1 is not terrible odds, and I think they'll still be in the mix in September. I think the Eels are as good as Sydney and a little bit higher on the ladder with a little bit of a better pathway, and I would play them at 12.
So there you go. And you know what? The Roosters would have finished top four above Parramatta if you do reverse that loss to Canberra, which we remember well because we were on the Roosters for a best bet and there was a bloody charge down try in there and it was a narrow defeat to the Roosters. It kept the Roosters out of the top four. That's so important. We know Parramatta did end up getting into fourth. Now, what's ironic about sharing that tip? And look, obviously, you're always happy you get a $12 tip into the grand final. And I'm totally acknowledging that I did also tip Roosters, so it's really not a matter of trying to throw a bunch of darts and just claim, you know, one that hits. I totally acknowledge, like, you know, even if it gets up at $12, you've probably outlaid double the amount because you've backed two teams there. But the ironic thing is, what we want to do when we back futures, because they're always a high market percentage and hard to beat, we want to get in at the right time. The week that I tipped the Eels to win the comp was the week they were playing the Bulldogs on a public holiday Monday. And they went on to lose that game 34-4, which was a total shock to us. We had a best bet on Parramatta on that occasion as well. And it sent the Eels into a mini tailspin where I think they lost that game and another one in the next couple of weeks. And they looked far from a premiership threat. And as Tristan said, they actually got out on the back of that out to $17. So I'm sorry, I thought they were going to go well that week and catapult towards the top four. In the end, they got there nonetheless. And for me, you know, the way that I like to try and find value, because the Roosters actually also recovered and ended up being a very genuine title threat and probably just a tough path and injuries held them out in the end. Or, you know, you never know, like if the Roosters got to top four, maybe they could be in this position. But what I'm looking for, and same for Podonis, we know everyone's going to be playing their best footy in September to win the comp. So I'm always looking for which, you know, teams can string wins together. And we saw North Queensland and Cronulla Sharks string a lot of wins together. But what I'm looking for in a team to win the comp is, what can you do when you're at your very best? When you're in top gear, what level can you get to? And as you say, Podonis, we've recognised what level this Parramatta side can get to and is capable of. And they are capable of winning on Sunday, but they've got an almighty task. They're playing a historic side that's going to be in front of them. And no question about it, we know what level the Panthers can get to. What have your takeaways from the Penrith Panthers 2022 season, where they've attempting to defend their premiership?
Yeah, well, not just this season, but I think I saw a stat pop up this week. They've won 67 of their last 77 games, which is just wild to me. It just
and that includes a couple of games where they've rested everybody.
Yeah, which so we imagine know about. Imagine what their record would be if they didn't rest anyone. But it just shows you that this side is so confident in what they do. They've had the perfect run in as well this season. When I think it's a stark contrast to last year, where they were all busted and injured and people weren't training during the final series because they were just trying to recover to get fit for games. And they're pretty much fully fit this week, with the exception of Taylan May. And some might say that's ironic because he should have been suspended for two games anyway. He didn't play last week either. And it's unlucky for him, but it's a nice story to see Charlie Staines in the run-on team this week, given that he was a reserve and the 18th man last year. So credit to him and what he's done. But I really like the experience this side's built as well. With three consecutive grand finals, they've got the origin experience as well. It's only going to help them. And I think that they're perfectly placed to go back-to-back, because we've seen so far that their worst performance is so close to their best performance that they rarely have a drop-off. And that's what I really like about this side. And they're definitely on their way to becoming a dynasty.
And that's the thing, and Tristan said, the highest odds you ever could have got on Penrith was pre-season, and they've just gone further and further down, because this side looked, you know, unbeatable all year, and it wasn't until Parramatta did get that win at Bluebet Stadium that was their first loss of the season, and they were double-digit favourites in that game, so that was a surprise. And then, you know, it was a little bit more predictable that they may lose a game or two through the origin period, but they even navigated that well and even won games where they gave everyone a rest. And it was only, you know, later in the year, and you get a loss when you have Cleary sent off, which again was against Parramatta. There's a loss in there to the Storm where a few of the origin players were injured, because we know, well, Cleary was suspended, Luai was injured, and then there's that loss at the end of the year where they just gave themselves a bye week. And that's their second week they've had off in the last month. And as I said last week, what a luxury it is when you've set such a platform and foundation and bank so many points on the ladder that you can just start preparing for September and October nice and early. And that's what the goal has been all along for this team. They've never had to worry about short-term goals. It's always been about how can they play their best footy at the right time of the year. And boy, did we see it. I mean, last week, even when it seemed like it was a perfect storm for this team to be upset, and just goes to show why you don't always take short favourites for the premiership, because you've still got to get through elimination games and anything can happen. And all those disallowed tries, and I spoke about that all in the recap, I really felt like Penrith was very vulnerable, and yet they scored 32 unanswered points and got through that game and covered it, the margin as well, and sit in a strong position. As Tristan said, they are 8.5-point favourites for this grand final now. And the total as well, I should mention, is 38.5. And what I want to talk about next is team lists. And you mentioned like minimal changes. Let's talk first of all about Parramatta. One change for the Eels from the side that did win 24-20 in Townsville. And that is Nathan Brown back in the interchange position, where he hasn't played for Para since round 17, but he does take Bryce Cartwright's spot. And Jake Arthur remains on the bench. Podonis, is that Para's strongest lineup in your opinion?
I think Para's strongest lineup is going to be one that doesn't have Jacob Arthur in it, because I think he just limits you because you're playing handicapped, because he's just there as interchange cover, where I think Bryce Cartwright can do the same job that Arthur can do, and he can come on as a halves replacement if you do get an injury. I think it's short-sighted to just play with someone on the bench just to cover an injury, because you can't plan for injuries. But look, Nathan Brown, he hasn't played for 3 months, so you can question his match sharpness and fitness, but he's definitely there for one reason only, and that's probably just to get after Cleary.
I guess, I mean, he's played reserve grade, right? So, and he's experienced enough. And yeah, I do question it, and I kind of have the same point on Arthur, that essentially you pick him and it's a 16-player rotation. And the funny thing is, Jacob Arthur doesn't even seem to cover the outside backs, because if they lose an outside back, it's more likely Niokorue is going to slot into the centres, and then you'd slot a centre to the wing if you had to, and you'd slot, you know, whatever, Simonson shifts out to the wing, or maybe even to fullback, you know, if you lose unexpectedly an outside back. So why is Arthur there? Well, if they get an injury to 6 or 7, he comes on, and that's about it. But Bryce Cartwright, I do feel for him, and it is a shame, because him at his best would raise the ceiling of this Parramatta side. But I don't know, watching Cartwright play, I think he's a victim of how he looks when he plays. He looks like he's always playing casual. He doesn't look like he's running and tackling as hard as he can. He doesn't look like he's valuing possession. You know what? There was a crucial moment. Parramatta got a 6 again against the Cowboys last week, and Cartwright was, I thought he was stripped of it on first tackle of the 6 again, but maybe you could say loose carry. It was called a loose carry, and I just wonder, should one error shouldn't condemn you to miss out in the grand final, but I wonder if that stuck in Arthur's head. He didn't play many more minutes after that. He's not here, and I do think ultimately Parramatta's a side that really leans on their middle forwards and expects a lot of minutes. You bring Nathan Brown in, he can play lock or prop, and Niokorue, as I mentioned, he can play on an edge anyway, so he can take the minutes that you might have given to Cartwright, where Cartwright, you maybe don't trust him in the middle, he would have been on an edge. The only other, it's not really a change because it's the same as last week, but Opacic remains out with the hamstring, and I don't think that's a big loss, because I was impressed by how well Simonson held his own, and I'd seen him more play wing in his young NRL career, but he did a gallant job at centre. For the Eels, and he gets to retain that position. How about Penrith's lineup? Podonis, they're unchanged from the prelim, and Taylor May, similar scenario to Opacic, as you said, he's not going to be right. So Staines is on the right wing, but just any thoughts about how Penrith lines up?
I think they're going to line up exactly the same as week one in the finals and last week. I think Mitch Kenny's going to start, take the sting out of the game, and Coruscant is going to come off the bench again. I think it's worked for him, and the way that they're able to take all that pressure out of the middle and not have Coruscant work so hard early on in the contest, making all those tackles and doing all the hard stuff. But yeah, I think they had to be the same side as last week. I think Charlie Staines did well. And for all the talk about that side being Penrith's weakness defensively, I think Charlie Staines is still one of the best defenders in terms of in his position in the comp. He's so strong physically, even though he's such small in stature. But yeah, I think Penrith are just going to roll out the same side that they did last week, the same lineup against Parry in week one of the finals, and they're going to go for it.
Let's dive into the matchup now. And in terms of the actual all the players in the lineups, I'm sure everyone knows them by now, but I'm going to attempt to put the starting players in the lineups on the screen too. So you can put your attention towards the forwards, because Podonis, how do you see the forward battle? This is where the match, this is where it begins in the trenches. And should be a pretty enthralling matchup.
Yeah, that's right. Two heavyweight boxers just going toe for toe early. I think the starting props almost cancel each other out. I feel that they're both the strengths of their teams. And Fisher Harris is going to be up against Paulo and RCG, and that's a great contest. And I think the level of Sean Lane's play over this final series and Papali'i, I think at the moment it's pretty close to what Kikau and Liam Martin do provide for the Panthers. So I don't really see much of an edge either way. But the biggest difference for me in that forward pack is the number 13 jersey. And Isaiah Yeo stands out as a key difference maker to me when you look across the opposite side and Madison's there. And I don't think he provides the same subtlety of movement and ball playing that Yeo does. And I think that's going to be a big factor the longer this game goes on as well, that he'll be able to work his magic around some of those big forwards.
So if you're saying the props and the second rows kind of cancel out, and then the difference maker being Yeo, you give a slight edge to the Panthers pack. I overall look at the packs, I can't even split them, because I mean, you got I would say starting New South Wales props, but RCG, we all understand he got spurned from the Blues. But geez, he did pretty well last week. Don't know if Brad Fittler was watching that game. Big reason why the Parramatta are playing in the big dance this weekend. And you talk about the form of Lane and Papali'i's been a revelation as well. So for me, honestly, the forward battle is dead even, because I'm a big believer in Madison, another player who did actually get a Blues jersey this year, at least in game one, where the Blues didn't win, but they were pretty competitive. Moving to the spine, and the spine has some Blues players involved as well. Who has the edge in your opinion?
Yeah, it's pretty close again, isn't it? It's almost these two sides have the same makeup. You've got two hardworking running fullbacks who do a lot for their sides defensively. You've got 5'8" that like to play what's in front of them and let the halves control it and try to take the line on in Brown and Luai. And you've got excellent dummy halves. They're both creative, both solid defensively. And I think the difference there, you give the edge to Penrith, because I think Cleary trumps Moses in everything he can do in the game, his kicking game, his game management. So that's where the edge goes to the Panthers there. But all the other positions are 1, 6, 9. You can't split them.
I agree how similar these teams are made up, and they both have exceptional spines. And if someone's a Penrith fan, they could almost go position by position and give the edge to Penrith each and every one. You know, maybe Coruscant has origin experience over Marnie, that little bit younger. Everyone would say Cleary over Moses. Luai, again, origin experience over Brown. I mean, Brown's played for New Zealand, but and then Edwards, I think most people would rate him higher than Gutherson. I'm not sure if he's necessarily the better player. They're different players in a way, but in other ways, they do have similarities that they're both two of the fittest players in the whole competition, and they seem to always be near the ball and always involved in good things happening for their team. So I'm with you. I've got to give a slight edge to Penrith, but it's not a big one. How about the outside backs? This is, for me, where I think Penrith might have a bigger edge.
Yeah, I exactly had the same point as you. So if you say To'o and Sivo cancel each other out, two big powerful wingers, I think the biggest edge is in the centres of what the Panthers can do with Crichton and Tago. I think they're explosive. They're the game breakers, whereas I look at the guys that that the Eels have in Simpson play well last week, but Penasini as well. If I'm the opposition, those guys are solid defensively, but they don't scare me, and they're not going to be the ones that take the ball, beat the man one-on-one and make a line break and score a try. So that's where Penrith have the edge for me, is through the centres and how dynamic Crichton can be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're being kind if you say Sivo cancels out with To'o, because I think To'o is the superior player and Crichton is a star as well. And for me, Parramatta doesn't have like that superstar game-breaking back necessarily. So I think position for position, at least three of the four, you'd rather have the Panther. Maybe the one exception would be the fact that Sivo actually lines up opposite Charlie Staines. So if you look at it from that perspective, that could be an area that the Eels need to exploit and need to win that matchup. But maybe at some point in this game, Sivo needs to catch a bomb over Staines or bowl him over on the try line and make something happen if Parramatta has any chance of success in this one. because that would be the one matchup that they would feel they have an advantage. But overall, got to give it to Penrith again, as I would with the bench matchup. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I think Penrith have shown all season that they don't really lose much when they sub their forwards out, whereas Parra have been forced to play Paolau and Campbell Gillard through big minutes all season just because they don't get the same production when those guys aren't there. Nathan Brown is probably coming on to help with that, but I know he's been playing reserve grade, but I would question his match sharpness being able to come onto a game of this magnitude, given he's been on the sideline for so long. So, yeah, bench goes to the Panthers.
Yeah, you look at it like Lenu, Sorensen, you know, and Kenny or Coruscant, because depends which one of them they actually start with. But these guys will all start for other clubs. And we've discussed, you know, Arthur's not a strength of the Eels bench, and neither is Oregon Kafusi, to be fair. Niokore, Madison, like, they're versatile and they are good assets. But the other guys on the Parra bench, as I say, probably wouldn't make the Penrith team. What other factors are you looking at, Padonis? I'll start with coaching and experience. I look at Parramatta, and it's funny, the games they've lost this year, especially the unexpected losses, Arthur always puts it down to attitude and just says, well, you know, we are capable of winning that game, but we didn't go after it enough. We didn't want it enough. We didn't play with enough force. And it's funny because this is the one game of all games where that can't be the excuse. You cannot say after the game that we didn't go after it. So that's, you know, that's one question. But certainly, King Arthur, as we've coined that name many years ago on the pod, we've always been a big fan of him and believe that he is one of the better coaches in the competition. And he's been questioned because this side has fallen short in a lot of finals campaigns. They've got a chance to right those wrongs and to redeem themselves and to cement themselves in history. But in the press conference after the win up in Townsville, Arthur said himself, I've got no idea how to handle this week. I've never been here. And you contrast that to Penrith, who are going into their third straight grand final. They know how to prepare. They know what it's like to lose it. They know how to win it. And you would usually say there's more pressure on the favourite just because people expect them to win and, you know, the underdog gets a free shot. But I don't think that's necessarily the case in this one because of the pressure of history and the fact that we've discussed on this show a few times. It's kind of now or never for Parramatta as well. So they're going to be feeling that pressure too. Any other thoughts you have on the kind of the coaching matchup?
Yeah, that's an interesting point you made. And I'll back that on the pressure thing, because I think for the Panthers, when you're that good and you look down and you see your jersey flag, New South Wales Cup side, SG Ball, they all won the comp. So they've got all the talent coming through. They're going to be in grand finals in the future years to come. Whereas I think the Eels, they don't know when they're going to be here again. So the pressure is on them to be able to win and do something and break that streak. The other advantage that I do have is this rest advantage, given that Penrith have only had, they've had two bye rounds essentially in the past 5 weeks, whereas Parra have had to go the hard way and traveled as well in that time. So I definitely give the edge to the Panthers there. And all those factors combined show you where the line is at the moment. It's sitting at that 8.5.
Yeah, I agree about the rest advantage. And Penrith won the grand final at a rest disadvantage last year, where they had to go the long way around the mountain and it was Souths that had that finals bye week. But Penrith was better than Souths last year. Remember, Souths had no Latrell. So when you're the better team, you can offset the rest. And in fact, Penrith was so good they could offset the injuries and beat up bodies that they carried into last year's grand final. And this year, they're fresh as a daisy. And I looked back at recent history of grand finals. And when was the last time that the team that was better also had a rest advantage in the grand final? And I don't know if it's going to jump to the top of your head, Padonis, but it's a game that I was at in 2017, and it was a rested Storm against a Cowboys side that had run the gauntlet and a similar line to this one. In fact, even higher, the line was as high as 10, maybe 10 and a half. The Storm won that game 34-6, and it wasn't that exciting. So, you know, I wouldn't be blown away if we get that kind of outcome. I certainly hope not. And Parramatta is capable of a lot more, but there is a scenario where if Penrith gets on top, it could snowball. And I'll just throw another edge out there that we haven't discussed. That would be goal kicking. I just feel Cleary, the slightly superior goal kicker to Moses. There's not much in it, but if you told me that who wins this game or even who covers this game, it just comes down to one player missed a kick and the other made one, I would tend to think that my pick would be Cleary to kick one from the sideline if his team really needs it. Let's talk about style of play, just in general. Any thoughts on how you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty similar to the first game that they played in week one of the finals, where it's through the middle, both teams trading set for set, Panthers getting in that rhythm and that groove that they like to do. And in that game, we saw the Panthers break away late in the final 30. There was a few factors why. Moses coming off didn't help. Eels' completion rate didn't help as well. I think they had 45% completion rate in that final 30 minutes. But it goes to show that that's the way the Eels have been playing all season, with that high-risk, high-reward strategy with the offloads. I don't think they can change that now. They're going to have to stick with the same way. If it sticks and they have 100% completion rate like they did on last Friday night, then they're definitely going to be a shot in the second half. But I think Eels are going to have to be at that level and cause something different for this Panther side to defend. Because Panthers, I think Penrith are so good at knowing what's going to happen before the opposition plays it. I think Parramatta have to try a couple of trick shots, do something different to try to disrupt that Panthers line. And I think it's more of the same for those. They're gonna wear down the Eels and try to run away with it late again. So I could definitely see a similar style of game to that first meeting.
Which I think gives some hope to Parramatta, because they were well and truly in it. They were leading after 15 minutes, and then some errors that invited Penrith into their red zone led to tries. It snowballed when Moses was knocked out and couldn't return, and then Parramatta had to chase points but didn't have, you know, guy that's their best player, most important, to their attack. So Parramatta is going to be thinking, can we bottle up what we did in the first, you know, 40, 50 minutes of that game, and can we extend that and play inspired for 80? You know, and they showed they could do that last weekend, and they were under a world of pressure last weekend, and it's going to be that and more this week. And, you know, although they're at a rest disadvantage, I suppose, this doesn't counteract it, but, you know, just a minor intangible there. They did play Friday as opposed to the Saturday game. So at least you get the nice long, you know, 9-day turnaround. And knowing in the back of your mind, it is just 80 more minutes for this season that is going to decide everything. I look at this game in terms of style of play. I'm looking at Penrith again with the early kicks in behind. I feel like they put you under so much pressure. You've got so many things and players to worry about. You worry about the ball playing of, you know, a player like Isaiah Yeo that we mentioned before. You worry about when they spread it to the right, and are they going short to Martin, who's going to crash over, or are they going to swing it out the back to someone like Crichton, who's a nightmare to deal with? Of course, we know that when Penrith goes right to left, then you might get like a Yeo to Cleary to Luai, and you've got to contend with a kick out on the back of that, as well as the combination with Tego and To'o. But then at any time, as we saw against South, they can drop it on their boot and dribble it in behind the line as well. And they know when it's on. And this comes back to these guys have played together for so many years. They know each other's games. They don't point and say, hey, I'm about to put a grubber in behind. Like it's telepathic almost. And Gutho is just going to have to be on red alert all game and pick his spots very carefully when he's in the line. And then the other type of kick that is going to give Parramatta fits all night are these bombs from Nathan Cleary. And you know that he's going to pick out Wonga Blake yet again. So that's going to go a long way. Like, everyone knows what's going to happen, but catching him is another matter. But if Blake spills, you know, two or three bombs, just like Souths did in the grand final last year, just like he did in week one of the finals, they're going to invite too much pressure probably to withstand. So they're going to have to be able to defuse those bombs. And that leads me to how Parramatta is going to play, and they're going to have such an emphasis on kick pressure on Nathan, which every team in the competition does, and which, you know, which Queensland did as well, and it went a long way towards winning the Origin series. I seem to be able to manage to fit that in and keep reminding everyone of that pretty regularly, which I'm happy about. But and the other part of it, you said Eels are going to offload the ball. They sure are. They know they're an underdog, and they know that they have to take the risk, and they know they've got to generate offense off of that. And, you know, whether it's in attack, and Penrith has the best goal line defence in the competition, they're hard to break, but maybe you break an offload, you create a half opportunity. But also just out of yardage, if you're just getting bashed in the middle and both these sides are going to play ultra physical, I think both sides are going to really squeeze what the 10 metres is and push it to the limit, because they know the ref isn't going to want to have a big say in the game, so there'll be less penalties, less six agains. Therefore, there'll be a bit less space and there'll be some big collisions in the middle of the field. And if they're struggling to get out of their territory, they might need to chance their arm and throw some offloads to help generate basically an extra tackle or two and some go forward and some momentum to get themselves, you know, winning the yardage, which is part of this, because you have to play, you know, as much of the game as you can. And Penrith's end, to have a chance. Otherwise, it's just going to be too much pressure. That's kind of how we see the game unfolding. We've got some tips incoming now. Let's get a tip or a couple of tips for the game from the man who filled in for you on Sunday, Padonis. Here's a couple from The Undertaker.
Hey guys, Undertaker here with a couple of best bets for the grand final. First one's going to be the first half under, 19.5, and that's $1.88 on Ladbrokes. A lot of the other books have the line at 18.5 with juice on the under, like, you know, $1.72 kind of range. So not only do we get even juice on Ladbrokes, but we do get an extra point to play with as well. I like the full game under, but I like the first half even better because, look, you can't win a grand final in the first half, but you can lose one. Both teams are going to want to make sure not to concede early points. It's going to be a real rock fight early, I think. So these teams match up really well against each other. Great forward packs. It's just going to be a grind, just a real, real hard slog. So, look, if they can score four tries in the first half, I'll tip my cap and lose that bet. So that's the first bet. The second one is a player prop, and that's Reed Marnie. He's in the trio of most tackles with Api Korosau and Isaiah Yeo. Bit of juice on Marnie. He's $1.76, but the juice is worth the squeeze, I think. Appy's only playing, you know, 50, 60 minutes. Yo's solid. He'll make about 40 tackles, but Reed is just, his numbers are through the roof, especially in a game like this. He made, I think, 58 tackles last week, and I expect a similar type of output this week. Look, even if he makes over 40, he's a pretty red-hot favourite to win this. I think he wins this bet like 75% of the time, honestly, so worth paying that $1.76 to get that bet. Good luck, everyone. Enjoy the game.
Thanks to The Undertaker, who's done really well with his NRL tips this season. Some of those have included player prop and player stat markets as well. So I didn't look too deeply into that, so I couldn't give you a strong opinion on the Marnie tackling. I take Undertaker's word for that. But in terms of the total, I will say I also lean to the under, 38.5. So I agree. And the fact that he's getting 19.5 first half is when other bookies are at 18.5. We saw last time these sides played, they both exchanged field goal attempts. And in fact, Nathan Cleary nailed his. That could be all important, that 1 point as well. So if you like unders, you go under 38.5, you know, as in addition to maybe playing first half under, it makes a lot of sense. If you like overs, though, you can play over 37.5, which is on Dabble. So that's why you always want to shop around. The Donners, which way would you play? Would you go over 37.5 or under 38.5?
Again, I agree. I lean unders. I think it'll be a tight game, but I don't see any value in the total because I can definitely see a scenario where there are some points in the game, especially late on. So I definitely agree. If you like unders, the best way to play it is in the first half, like Matt's bet. And if you like the full match total, then instead of taking the points, I personally would rather look for an under 6.5 tries because I think that takes out penalty goals. We know how good those two sides are goal kicking, and also takes out field goals as well because I think 7 tries would sink 38.5 anyway. So that's the way that I'd look at it if I did lean unders.
That's a fair point too because you know that if it's tight at all, these teams will take the two because there is that respect for each opponent's defense. So what it boils down to, you say the total's probably about right. And I agree, but it probably should be around 38. That's why I'd go under 38.5. But we feel like the line's about right too. We've kind of made the case why Penrith, you know, with all those advantages, experience and rest and in the units themselves, just as a footy side, they are the stronger footy team. Not many people would argue that. They've got to be favourites in this one by over a converted try. They are their 8.5-point favourites. It's a little bit too steep for us to play. We love Parramatta. We've loved them over the back end of this year. As you know, we've won plenty of bets on them and stayed away from them through the finals when we were actually inclined to go against them each week. And that would have lost 2 out of the 3 weeks. So even that turned out to be correct. But if you are going to back Parramatta, Padonis, what kind of market would you be looking at?
Yeah, just before I touch on that, answer your question, talk about reminders. I think this line, and not to rub it in again, Winnie, but I think it shows what a missed opportunity it was in that first week of the finals when Eileen Panthers and you didn't really feel confident enough to bet against the Eels because that line was 8.5, the same as week one, and that was in Penrith. I think everyone's upgraded the Eels since then, given what we've seen for the last 2 weeks, and the line's still 8.5. It shows how strong that edge would have been at the time. But if you do like Parramatta, I think the best way to play that would be taking an either team 1-12. That's the way that I'd look at it because I can't see the Eels winning 13 plus at all. And if Penrith win by 10 or 12, you'll still cash that bet. I feel that's safer than taking a first half line, because I've seen a few people look at that angle that it might be a bit tight in the first half, but it could very easily be like a 12-6 scoreline as well, and you'd lose that bet if you took the Eels at 4.5. So I think if you trust the Eels to stay competitive, then they're going to have to be competitive for the full 80 minutes, and then 1-12 is the best way to look at that angle, I feel.
And I think going back to the first week of the finals, you're right, like you've got the same line, but this time Parramatta is at more of a disadvantage in terms of being less rested now, I suppose, where they were fresher in the first week of the finals, and that maybe counteracts the fact that Penrith were at home. But you said the market has upgraded the Eels, and I think that's fair too, because I think one of the criticisms of the Eels is that they don't win big finals games, but they have to an extent proven that they can, especially last week. So I think it's justified to upgrade them. So that's where, you know, I still think, you know, the line in week one of the finals, ultimately the Eels got overwhelmed. And, you know, as we said, there's a few reasons why that might have been. And I guess it was a missed opportunity not playing against Parramatta, but hey, the very next 2 weeks I stood in front of bets against Parramatta. And as we know, they thumped the Raiders and got the upset win up in North Queensland. And you mentioned either 1-12. Do you know the best odds available for that? People know.
Sorry, it's $1.85 on Sportsbet. And I think there's a couple 190s floating around some of the smaller bookmakers, but one of the ones that we endorse, Sportsbet.
Okay. So I like that too. And you did mention first half line as well. And let's actually hand out over to BJ Willie 1003, because that's exactly what he's going to recommend. And let's hear why.
G'day, legends. Benny from Benny's Best Bets here with the best bet for the grand final. I'm going to take the Eels +4.5 in the first half. Pretty simple stuff from my end. They've covered this 21 out of 27 games so far this season. 3-3 against the Panthers. I think they'll come out red hot in the first 40 minutes. The bookies have set their totals lines at 37.5 and 38.5. Indicating they think it'll be a low-scoring type of match, and I couldn't disagree in that space. I think it's going to be, I think defence will be the focus as well. The numbers really back this one, and I think if the Eels are to have some success, it will be early. Second half for me is where it gets a little bit tougher to predict, so I'm happy to just play this handicap on the opening 40 instead of taking the full game line. I think it's going to be a little bit safer. Cheers, legends. Best of luck, and as always, gamble responsibly.
And I like that angle as well, because, you know, you even heard our mixed matchup. We're going to go Penrith second half. But I agree that if Parramatta's got a shot in this game, they've got to play a strong 40. And where I get worried for Parramatta is actually the longer the game goes along. And I'll throw another one at you. If you like the Eels, consider playing Panthers 3 unanswered tries no at $2.12, so plus money there on 365, because if Penrith scores 3 unanswered tries in this game, realistically, that's 16, if not 18 straight points. And if you knew that Penrith was going to score 18 straight at any point in this game, you wouldn't want the Eels with the Lions. So I think that's a pretty decent way to play Para, because it could be low scoring. And if they're going to keep it tight at all, somewhat tight, they're going to need to not let Penrith steamroll them at any point. But honest, what if you had to back Penrith? What's the best way to get at the Panthers?
Yeah, so for me, when I looked at if you like Penrith, I think the best angle would be, and I know it's just short of that $1.80, but it's $1.78 on Ladbrokes and Neds, and it's Panthers second half
over 11.5.
Yeah.
I had the exact same. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, that's the way that I'd play, because I think even in a tight contest, that can still cash as well, and it's definitely going to win if Penrith steamroll Eels late. I think that's the only way to look at the Panthers. I think it's more value than the 8.5 line. If there was a 7.5, I'd probably lay that, but I couldn't see that anywhere in the market at around $1.80 odds either. So I think that's the best one to play, because I think especially with Cleary as a goal kicker, I've seen as low as like $1.60 for the Panthers to score 2 or more tries in the second half. So I think that's almost a gimme as well. That should be about 18 cents lower, I think.
Well, I had the exact same tip. If you like Penrith, I like that one too. So that's on Ladbrokes and Ned's second half over 11.5 points. So I echo your sentiment there. Let's get some thoughts from someone else, someone that's won a grand final, no less, Robbie Farah. I haven't heard this yet, so let's hear which direction he's going.
Hey, Doublers. Robbie Farah back again for my last prediction of the year. It all comes down to this Sunday, NRL Grand Final. The best team all year, the Panthers, up against the Parramatta Eels. The Eels beat the Panthers twice during the regular season. They faced off in week one of the finals and the Panthers got the chocolates. And here they are again on Grand Final day. The Panthers, for me, have been the best team for the last 2-3 years. I think if you played this game 100 times, I think the Panthers probably win 75 of them. But the Eels on their day can beat anyone as well. So if I had to bet on someone, I'd be back in the Panthers. I think they've got the big game experience. Third grand final in a row, so they know how to win. But the Eels can definitely get the job done if they're at their best. But for me, the Panthers just know how to win and can get the job done. The one weakness for me in the Panthers side, I guess Charlie Staines on the wing coming up against Mike Acevo. If the Eels can exploit that, I like Mike Acevo to score a try as well. And for me as well, Viliami Kikau to score a try for the Panthers in his last game before he moves to the Bulldogs. So all the best if you're having a bet. Jump on Dabble, have some banter, copy some bets, and have some fun. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Robbie. And I went on a little tipping spree on Dabble today. There was one market in particular. I just didn't know if it would be available by the time the pod went out tonight. So I thought I'm going to share it for Savo. And I posted that I'd be sharing multiple tips on Dabble. And that's why it's worth not just following me and following the Podonis, but subscribing, especially as the NRL season comes to an end. There's other sports. Obviously, there's Rugby League World Cup just around the corner. NFL is ongoing. There's NBA, which we love, that gets underway over the summer. Even a Soccer World Cup. We might just find bets that we like. And if you're not subscribed to us, you don't get the notification. And sometimes when we tip something that we really like, it could be because we those odds are a bit too good. And that was probably the case with the Clive Churchill medal that I did tip that I'll get to, which has already crashed in. But some other ones I tipped on Dabble, which you can still back now, so I'll share them. If you like Parramatta at all, I reckon you've got to jump on this. $3 odds for Sivo or Blake to score. $3 odds for either Parramatta winger to score. That's pretty juicy, even if you think it's going to be low scoring and even if you like Penrith. And certainly if you are a fan of the Eels and their chances this weekend, I would say one of their two wingers has going to get an opportunity and has to take it. And you can get a similar bet if you like the Panthers side, which you can copy from my at Jacob Wynn account as well, To'o or Edwards to score. And that's $3 as well. And I mean, Brian To'o on the left wing alone, that's a great price for him. And you're throwing in Dylan Edwards as well. So again, like, it's a no-brainer if you like Penrith. And I would say even if you like Parramatta, you should take those odds because they are juicy odds. That's all on Dabble. Max 25 bucks you can have on either of those. Still well worth it, in my opinion. And use the code TRIPOD if you want to get a Dabble account before the grand final. Plenty more exciting features have been rolled out and continue to be rolled out. On Dabble, let's jump straight into Clive Churchill. Well, why don't I begin, because I tipped on Dabble earlier today, the Panthers Player of the Year, who is not Nathan Cleary. It's Dylan Edwards to be the best on ground at $11. And look, sometimes there's just a standout player and you can't deny that player. And so, yes, it's a voted award, but, you know, it's obvious who deserves to win it. You could probably say that was the case last year when Nathan Cleary did win in the Panthers' triumph over the Souths. But sometimes multiple players are worthy of winning it. And that's where I think the extra value lies in Edwards, because, you know, he's not that rep player. He's somewhat unsung, although everybody loves him and recognises him, what he brings to the table this year. And I think he's also, you know, that hero for Penrith because he played all of last campaign with a broken foot. It all feeds into me for that being a great bet at $11, which it was. Now it's crunched in on Dabble. I think still best available is 9 on 365, which I still think that's a borderline of where you still grab it. But that was an outstanding bet and a reward to anyone who does subscribe to Jacob Wynn. You got the opportunity to jump on that. Podonis, which way were you looking in this market?
Yeah, look, the obvious choice is Cleary, and he's going to be in everyone's forefront of their minds. But Edwards, I can definitely see him. That's a great odds there at $11. I think he's as low as 7 across most other bookmakers. He touched on $9 at Bet365. I think the forgotten man may be Isaiah Yeo a little bit at $11. I think if he had a similar game that Edwards had last week, like a standout performance, and he'd probably be around the $8 mark as well at the moment. But there's a reason we tipped him for man of the match in that Origin 1 before he was concussed in the first tackle of the game. He's a superstar, and maybe a few people have forgotten that. So I'd be looking at him at 11 bucks if you wanted to find someone outside of Cleary.
And, I mean, locks get recognised because, you know, Pat Carrigan ended up being player of the series for Origin. So I think he's a very viable choice as well. Another way to play Clive Churchill, especially if you don't like a side, check out the market that Dabble has just put up, which is Clive Churchill medal by jersey number. And they've grouped the jersey numbers and you can get odds on combined jersey numbers. So whichever group of jerseys you take, you're going to have several players and obviously players on both sides that can win that for you. And then you might pick, you know, the jersey group that contains jersey 13 if you think it can be that style of game where a forward can get through a lot of work but also maybe be involved in a couple of key moments and key scores, decisive scores. People want, you know, some other fun exotics. Or actually, I've got a couple more long shot Clive Churchill tips coming our way as well as some try scorers. That's all thanks to the man who's analyzes the data and has hit some massive odds for us this season, Nicole from Wiki.
Hey everyone, it's Nicole from Wiki. Obviously, we had an awesome start to the final series, getting Tom Gilbert at $91 to score the first try. Come the grand final, obviously with only one game, the markets are pretty sharp, as Jacob alluded to, but we're going to get straight into a couple of our value plays. So for Clive Churchill, really like Brian To'o and Vila Kikau. Obviously, Cleary is the strong favourite at $3. I'm not going to talk anyone out of getting on him, but Vila Kikau at 26s on Top Sport and a couple of other bookies, and To'o at 51s on Neds, and again, a couple of other bookies. The reason why I like those is if the Panthers are to win, and obviously they're raging hot favourites, I think it's going to take something pretty special to get the for someone else to get the award over Nathan Cleary. And I think Yeo and Edwards are obviously great options, but they're sort of around $10. And I'd rather just, if I am going to tip something, I'm going to get a tip something that's good value. So To'o gets his 200-plus run metres, obviously on the left wing, scored a try last week. And if he does score another one this week and Cleary has a quiet game, we think at least he's in with a shot, and we love the $51 price. With Kikau, love the storyline. You know, last game for the Panthers, he's an explosive player. Again, if it's a really close game and Cleary doesn't get a try or an assist, we think one big play from Kikau, maybe two, could have him in to get the prize at $26. Going into the try scorer markets, look, honestly, I've been sort of craving this one last game to find a big odds play, but I think the only one that I do like is probably RCG, if you can get him at $91 or above to score the first try. So he started off the week at 101 on Sportsbet, now he's into 81s. If we can get him in at about $91 or better on any bookie, love that price for RCG, because obviously he scored two last week. On the flip side, on the last try scorer market and first try scorer second half, really like Nathan Cleary. He scored the last try of the game last weekend, and also in total, 7 out of his last 61 games, if you look at it from 2020 onwards. So we've got him at $21 on points bet or tab to score the last try. And look, first try scorer second half market, obviously different market, but better price, 26s to get up for Nathan Cleary on tab. So good luck, everyone. As always, our data tools, our content, it's all free, ready to go to wiki.ai. And just a quick thank you again for Jacob and everyone that's part of the Tripod community. It's been a blast over the last few months. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Nicole. On that note of try scorers, Podonis, who would you be backing for either team?
Yeah, try scorers for me are always a lottery, and I never seem to be able to get it right. So if I do want to pick someone, I want to look for who's got the best odds, and I try to use some science behind it in terms of how I see the game going. So if I was looking for the Panthers, as I said at the top of the preview, I think Mitch Kenny is going to start in place of Coruscant. And I've seen him as low as $28 on some sites, but he's $38 on Top Sport for first try scorer. So maybe the Eels defensive line just looks at that first receiver and tries to charge out, and Mitch Kenny can dummy and go. So I'd look at that. And for the Eels first try scorer, maybe all the talk about Sean Lane, they try to compress and defend him. And if Crichton jams up on him, and it might be a flat ball from Gutherson or Dylan Brown to Bailey Simonson, that's $29. That's the first try scorer for the Eels left edge center.
Yep, 29 he is on Toppy and maybe 365 as well. I know that because I was looking at Simonson. I think he's a pretty decent option as well. And hey, I like that call on Kenny too. I seem to recall first try of the 2019 grand final was Sammy Verrills, was it not, for the Roosters, you know? Yeah. So you think, oh, dummy half's not going to scoot over in a grand final. The defense is too alert. Well, the Raiders should have been more alert on that occasion. And plus, you know, you're near the action, dummy halves, they can jump on a loose ball or something. As can the men that I've tipped. I've gone Gutho, $19 on Toppy for first try. And on Toppy, you may even be able to do better than $19. So I think the Eels nearly as good a chance of scoring the first try in this match as Penrith. I think it's more as the game goes on that Penrith's going to have better chances of scoring, right? So I'm more inclined to look for an Eel because they're all priced a little bit higher. It's not going to be easy to score against Penrith, but I'm thinking like there could be a pre-planned play, a kick, an inside ball, or just Gutho sniffing around the ruck and he gets an offload or he supports a break and then is able to score as a support runner. Or again, just getting to a loose ball. It could be a grubber that's bouncing around or a bomb that's tapped back. You know, Gutho, being the fit man that he is, could be near that. And I'll make the identical case, basically, for Dylan Edwards with all those points. And he's $17 on Dabble. Another tip I gave out this afternoon. I'd have to check if you can still get 17th. But certainly, if you did get that on Dabble, I think that's a pretty good bet. He's my favourite Panther to score first. So I'm doubling down a little bit on Edwards because I've given him Clive Churchill and first try, and he's in that try scorer bet for the Panthers as well. It wasn't my intention, but I just play it as I see it. Those are the odds. So overall, I think, look, if we thought the Eels were going to win this game, obviously we'd have a best bet. Our best bet, you know, we'd take the +8.5 or whatever. But we think the most likely outcome is Penrith going to be crowned back-to-back champions. And I've already talked about the prelims a fair bit. If you want more, to hear more from me and the Undertaker joining me on Sunday, you know, if you don't usually watch the recaps, you can go and check that out. And I mentioned I watched Panthers South with Barney. And I've got something to confess. When Penrith just ran in those two tries with 4 minutes to go in the first half and leveled it up at 12-all, and Barney and I were both going for the Bunnies, and, you know, I'd mentioned that Eels tip at $12. Geez, that'd be looking all the better if they were pick them in a grand final against the Bunnies or slide underdog or whatever. But I said straight on half time when Penrith just went bang-bang, I said, they just won the comp. Not they're probably going to win this game, but they just won the comp. If they could overcome all that adversity, to me, it just felt like, oh boy, that was the chance for that team to be beaten. And the Souths blew it, and they went on to score 20 more unanswered, 32 unanswered all in all in that one. And that doesn't include two disallowed tries by the bunker, which on Monday the NRL admitted were incorrect as well. So that just shows what a juggernaut Penrith are, why we both lean their way. If anyone could beat them, or to beat Penrith, I see it, then my analogy would be like trying to saw a massive tree trunk. You just cannot chop it in one go. You cannot break it in one go. You have to just cut away, just keep soaring back and forth for 80 minutes and withstand all the heat that they put on you. And maybe, just maybe, if you can take the game deep enough and you can weaken that tree trunk just enough, maybe you crack it. But ultimately, I hope that Parramatta can withstand the heat in the furnace and give us a grand final worthy of the 2022 season, which has been outstanding. For you, Podonis, any kind of closing thoughts on the GF, anything else you're looking forward to?
Yeah, and here's my take on it and why I lean the Panthers also and why I can't bet around the Eels is that me looking at it as a handicapper and seeing the Eels perform last week and arguably their best ever performance as a club, and we're backing them again at 8.5 to have to repeat that same performance to cover and have a chance of winning this game. And I think, to me, they always played their grand final last week against the Cowboys. The way that they took their chances, they came back in that game, scrambled defense like I've never seen them before. I don't think they can do it 2 weeks in a row. That's why I can't bet against them. And we've seen time and time again, when these sides get up for so long emotionally and physically, it takes a toll eventually and it could be a letdown spot for the Eels. So that's my one fear. And we saw the Panthers last year finally get that monkey off their back winning the premiership. And not many people have talked about this, but I think this is a real factor, is that it was so hard. It was a grind for them last year. ML was injured. They just had to do enough just to win and grab that first premiership. And now everyone's fit. They're fresh. I think they're going to play a lot freer. They're confident. You can see the way that Ivan Cleary goes about his press conferences. They're really enjoying their footing, their run into the grand final. So I think this could be a breakout performance from the Panthers, and they could really express themselves. And that's my one fear, that the Eels could be on a collision course against this Panthers juggernaut. And I would not be surprised if this is a blowout, and I could see the Panthers winning by 20 plus.
But still, jump on our mixed matchup if you have hope at all that it can be close. And look, I don't disagree that it could be a blowout, but at $3.50, that's where I think it's a fair price for the game to be competitive. As I say, that's what I'm hoping. But I also believe that although Eels have got a bit working against them, as I said at the very top, they've just got to find 80 more minutes. Let's see if they can. Let us know what you think. In a week from now, we're going to do a special season recap show with Tristan, or I'm going to bring Tristan on, not only to talk about NRL, but it's been a bit of a tumultuous time for Top Sport. I'm going to let Tristan explain that. One thing that hasn't wavered is Top Sport's support of the tripod, which we really appreciate. And I can actually say that we've got a green light for some Rugby League World Cup content to come through in the next couple of months as well. But we'll announce all that in due course. The Rugby League World Cup kicks off in 2.5 weeks, which is really exciting. But as I say, next week, if you're interested, I think anyone that's interested in the current state of the betting industry and the impacts on punters at large from various changes, recent changes, and any other questions that people might have, you'll get your opportunities to grill Tristan and send them through to me. I'll set up a post in the group. And there's not going to be a Wild World of Punting season this summer. So this is your chance to kind of hear an in-depth chat with Tristan. Grand final recap. I'm going to go live within 10 minutes of it finishing. So it's going to be an instant reaction. Podonis is going to be at the game. If he can tap into that broadcast, he will as well with his thoughts from the ground. I haven't said yet, but we are giving away one last NRL jersey for this season. So comment who you think will score the last try in the last game of the season and the minute you reckon they'll score. And there'll be a $50 cash up for grabs on the tripod page, I'd say around Saturday as well. Or the post will go up Saturday, but probably a guess for the grand final. And I'm going to end this pod lastly by saying thank you to you, Podonis, for your contribution to the pod this season. How have you found your experience? Hopefully I've been not too tough to work with.
Nah, it's been great, mate. And hopefully plenty of punters out there gain some more insight and how I think and how we try to assess and analyze games. And even though we haven't necessarily agreed on every side, hopefully people have made some money out there and just enjoy how we think about it. And yeah, pleasure to be on board.
I appreciate it, mate, because people probably don't realize how much time is involved. You spend a lot of time preparing. You're available and joining me each and every week. You're sharing your tips, your insights. And I feel like everything we say and certainly everything we tipped is scrutinized as much as any NRL preview in the world. And I actually feel like maybe it's because we make it super clear and easy to know where we stand, and we're not ambiguous with our opinion. We're not just throwing a heap of darts and then telling you that we hit something, some value, and we're not just saying a bunch of likely outcomes. We are putting it all on the line for you to see and for you to track. But when you're transparent and easy to follow, you're easy to criticize too, especially when it doesn't go well. And that's been magnified for yourself, Podonis, because you joined the tripod where we've had a lot of success for a long time, 7 years, in fact. And then we had some hard times this year and you stayed strong through those tough times. And tough times are inevitable. Every punter, every tipster is going to have them. But the results that we've ended up with for this season, they speak for themselves at this point. And the feedback I've gotten is how much you've really added to the show with your voice, breaking it up from just being my voice and the way you break down the game. So again, thanks for the hard work on behalf of me and also the tripod family. I can't tell you what 2023 is going to bring. I honestly don't know. Maybe a chat with Tristan next week will give people some idea about the future. But to everyone else out there, thank you for being on this journey with us and joining in and supporting us and following along in any way. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy grand final weekend, especially if it's a long weekend for you. Good luck with any bets you make. Again, share your thoughts, share your tips or opinion on anything we've said. Extra good luck if your team is playing in the big dance or if you're on that Eels tip of $12 and they are your team this weekend. And I'll be cheering them even though I think it's more likely to be Penrith that's holding the trophy on Sunday night. Whatever bets you do make, gamble responsibly. And lastly, Podonis, say it with me.
Lego.
Lego.